Amen. Good morning. How are you today? You know what? We are in the presence of the living God. And so no matter how you're feeling, the truth and the reality is that the presence of the Almighty God is here with you. And He is who He says He is, and He's faithful to do what He says He's going to do, and He will never let you down. And I don't know about you, but that gives me such rest and peace in my life. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. We are continuing in the series where these amazing claims that Jesus is making about who He is, and we are looking at the depth of what that looks like. Jesus said, I'm the bread of the life. He said, I am the light of the world. And today we look at, I am the good shepherd. And now when we look at these things, we obviously, Jesus is using these allegories, He's using these pictures to try to teach us a truth that is eternal, that is for our life, is to give us life. These are eternal truths that are designed to give you life. And so I hope that you can see that this morning, and I hope that you can grab a hold of these words this morning and allow them to sink in and do what God says He's going to do through them. Can you be open to that this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this morning. And it's going to start out here in verse 1. We're going to read through 16. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we'll walk through it. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I love that. Right off the bat, He's telling the truth. Like He's saying, look, this is for your ears because this is reality. This is the truth. This is not false. This is not an idea. This is not a perception. This is not an ideal. This is nothing of that sort. This, what I'm about to speak to you, is the ultimate truth, eternal truth. And let it sink in. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and then he leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from a stranger because they don't know that voice. And those who heard Jesus using this illustration, they were confused and they didn't understand what he meant. And so he explained it to them. And he says, look again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep, they did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and they will go freely and they will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them rich and a satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand, he'll run away when he sees a wolf coming. A hired hand, he's going to abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. And he isn't their shepherd. And so when the wolf attacks, it will attack them and scatter the flock. And that hired hand will run away because he's working only for money and he doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for those sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And at that point, there will be one flock with one shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth that our ears were able to receive this morning. As we read this passage, I thank you, Lord God, that these words that we read that were spoken out of your mouth are words that are to give us life. And so, Lord, in light of that, we celebrate your faithfulness of who you are. We turn our eyes on you. We put everything else aside. We gaze upon the shepherd right now in this moment. And Lord, we ask you to leave an eternal deposit of your peace and rest in our lives today so that you will be glorified in and through that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, here we have this illustration, a picture of a sheep and a shepherd. And we have this picture, and Jesus is obviously referring to himself as the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. You know, when you look at this, you get a strong sense of the commitment of the shepherd, don't you? You get a strong sense of his faithfulness and his heart towards the sheep. He's fully committed to leading his sheep. He's fully committed to having them be in his nature, in his nurture and in his care. The image that when I read through this and I just look at it first glance, I can't escape the level of love that is spoken out of the shepherd's mouth for me personally. And I can't escape the intention of affection and care and attention that we as the flock, we as the sheep receive from our good shepherd. And I want that to sink deep inside of your hearts this morning, and I want it to cause amazing rest and peace within you today. The truth of the matter is that we belong to the shepherd and that he belongs to us. And there is a level of ownership that is beautiful in this picture, in this illustration. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across. And he wants each and every one of us to know just how faithful he is and that we can rest, like we just sang a few moments ago, rest in his faithfulness. It's quite a statement when he says in verse 14 that I'm the good shepherd. And he says, I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. What an incredible statement that is. To be known by the shepherd in such a way that the Father of the universe, the God of all things, knows the Son. And the way the Son relates to the Father, there is a relating to me that is of the same level and depth. I just can't escape how much that means to me to be fully and completely known by the good shepherd. And I want you to know that this morning as well. You are fully known by the one who belongs to you and that you belong to him. And this word know in Scripture, and we've talked about it briefly at other times, but it doesn't mean to just have a knowledge. It doesn't mean to know. It doesn't mean, this word in the Greek doesn't mean that God has a knowledge about who I am. Yes, he absolutely has a knowledge about who I am. But it sinks deeper than that. It penetrates to the very essence of our being, where the things that are deep within our heart and our spirit are fully known by the Creator. And that he knows better than even myself those things that trouble my spirit and my mind. He knows the burdens that I carry in life and that are surrounding me. He knows the things that are happening in the spirit that I cannot see. He knows these things. There is a level of intimacy that Jesus is referring to here that is between the shepherd and the sheep that draws him. It compels him to care for you. It compels him to have an affection for you that is just constantly targeted towards you. His attention is on you. His love is targeted at you. And so when he makes this statement, I'm trying to figure out, what does that mean? I am the good shepherd, he says. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Well, what does that mean? What does he know about me? How deep does it really go? In what ways does he know me? And I think we get a glimpse of it as Jesus uses this illustration as the sheep. Let's talk about sheep for a second. Let's identify for just a moment as a sheep. Can we do that? Because that's what Jesus identifies us as. Now, I don't know about you, it's not, but when you first let your head roll around, it's like being a sheep is not the most desirable thing to be identified with, right? It's like, I would love to be identified with like a big cuddly bear or something like that. I would like that to be my identity or like something, but not a sheep, right? What, guys? Is that funny to you? Do I not come across as a big cuddly bear? Go ahead. What animal am I? I'm not even letting them go there. I shouldn't even open it up to that. So I'm going to stick with what Jesus says, and he says I'm a sheep, and that means that you're a sheep and I'm a sheep, and so we're going to go with it. But when you think about sheep, and you, man, I've studied more about shepherds and sheep this week than I care to admit, and you know, the more and more you study and you look at these sheep, the more and more you realize that, man, I am very similar to that species of animal, and all of you are too. And there's nothing to be ashamed about in that. I completely reject the idea that sheep are dumb. I reject that with everything inside of me. I absolutely do. That is not true. Here's what the sheep, this is how sheep behave. These are characteristics of the sheep. And one of the things that we know about sheep is that they're vulnerable little creatures. They're vulnerable little creatures who are completely dependent upon the shepherd in their life to provide everything that they need, to provide the quintessential needs of the deepest core of my being, that which my very soul and the core of my being needs, the very absolute bottom line needs have to be met by the shepherd, just like a sheep. Sheep are vulnerable little creatures. They're easily exposed to the dangers and the threats around them. If you think about a sheep, there's no physical attribute about a sheep that can defend himself if there is an attack, that can scare off an intruder. If an intruder or a wolf is coming to enclose in on that sheep, there are no physical attributes. There's nothing in that sheep that can say, I'm going to scare this intruder off. They're not built for that. They're feeble. They're timid. Easily frightened. Easily scattered from the flock. Sheep are stubborn at times. They're prone to wandering off from the fold. Sound like anybody? Right? And that's why Jesus uses this image here. It helps us to understand really the complete vulnerability that we have in view of God. But that vulnerability can be accessed by a loving Savior and a shepherd, and it's okay. It's meant to be accessed by Him. It's there, and it lives and resides in us to be accessed by one, the living God. And so you can easily see the similarities that we have. Our behavior and our characteristics are much the same, but there is one thing. There's one thing that stands out among everything else that I want you to grab hold of and that I want you to remember as you leave here. And that is this. Sheep flourish when they are at rest. When every need, elemental yet essential, intrinsic need of a sheep is met by the shepherd, provision, protection, care. When all of these basic elemental needs are met and the presence of the shepherd is there, the sheep is able to go to rest. And you ask any shepherd in all the world, and they will say, yes, a flock will flourish when they are at rest. When they find themselves in a spacious pasture that is free from the threat of danger, the flock will flourish. I hope you can see the spiritual application that is in this. And that is that the flock of God flourishes when they are at rest. When they know from the deepest core of the being and without a shadow of a doubt that the shepherd is nearby and he provides every single thing that you need. He is faithful. And when you allow that to sink deep, you go to rest. This is what Jesus knows about you. This is what the good shepherd knows about his flock. He knows these things about you. That we are vulnerable creatures, easily exposed to the dangers that lurk outside the flock. And he knows us this well, and he knows that we flourish when we're at rest. And so he knows these things, and so it is everything, he does everything possible. It is in his nature, it's in his character to care for you so that you can have this rest. He's the one that leads us to still waters and spacious green pastures where all of our inherent needs are met without the threat of danger. And so I want you to see this morning the spiritual application to this, because that's what we're talking about here. The spiritual application of what this means. That Jesus is doing something here. He's speaking something to show us. He's giving us a window of what's going on in the spiritual realm that we cannot see. We're so often limited by our own eyes to see what's just physical around us, but I believe that God is leading us into a time where we're going to be able to see deeper in the Spirit than we ever have before. I truly believe that. And I'm grateful for that. But Jesus is using this comparison so that we can see into the spiritual realm, to see further into the spiritual realm. And when he talks about a wolf coming to attack, to scatter the flock, he's showing us the level of care that he, as our shepherd, is going to provide. Think about that for just a moment. There is nothing. A friend's calling? Yes. Well, I'm glad it's a friend, Steve, and not a wolf or an enemy. Think about it for just a second. There is nothing more vulnerable than when you are a sheep and you know that the wolves are closing in around you and that you are absolutely no match to fight them back. That's as vulnerable as it gets. The wolves are closing in all around you and you have nothing in your own strength or power to fight them off. That's as vulnerable as it gets. And no matter how tough and brave you feel, you are no match for demonic forces that are hell-bent on causing you fear and disrupting your peace in life. You're no match. But the good news this morning is that you have a shepherd who absolutely is. And I believe this is why Jesus emphasizes just how important it is for his sheep to recognize his voice. To be able to recognize and acknowledge that his presence is so very close by that I can hear him speaking when there's fear closing in around me. I'm able to hear the voice of my shepherd, the one who brings me peace and rest and leads me to peace and rest. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is absolutely vital to the protection and the care of sheep. My sheep know my voice, and they know and I know them. You see, because when danger is close by, the shepherd sees it. He can see it from far off. And when the shepherd sees it from far off, what he'll do is he will call to the sheep. He'll call to the flock and say, "Oh, yeah!" And I've learned that each shepherd has their own little language that they have with their flock. There's stories of how the multiple flocks will rest and sleep in a sheepfold. A sheepfold is an enclosure for sheep and it's very common for multiple flocks in a town or a district to rest in the same sheepfold together. And when it's time to move out from the sheepfold, when it's time to move out from the sheep, the enclosure, each shepherd has their own language and has their own voice, and they call to their sheep. And it's amazing to watch that those sheep just divide up and follow that voice that they know. And they all just go out, and they all go out through the gate, and then they just follow the shepherd that where he leads them to safe green pastures or still waters. Church, it is vital. And I cannot stress this enough, how vital it is in this day to be able to recognize and hear the voice of the shepherd. And not only to recognize and to hear it, but to obediently and humbly follow his voice. It's a matter of safety. It's a matter of life and death. It's for your safety. It's for your preservation. It's because he's leading you to a place that is safe. Safe pastures where you are able to lie down and rest in his protection, in his care, in his guidance, in his faithfulness, and so that you are able to rest in that protection. Last week, my son and I found ourselves in a store as we were waiting for my daughters to get done ballet class, and him and I were just killing time, and so we went in this toy store that's just full of fun things to look at, and this basically, the two of us were just like, whoa, you know, I just love toys and playing with things. And we had no money, so we're like, we're just here to play with everything for an hour and a half. And so what happens is the two of us just wander off in the store. And we just kind of go our own ways. And it wasn't a huge store, but it was, you know, I knew where he was. And all of a sudden, I heard from a distance, Dad? 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 And I know it was my son's voice, and so I just said, John, I'm over here. Dad, I'm over here, John. Dad, where are you? John, I'm over here. Follow my voice, man. Follow my voice. And I just kept talking. Follow my voice, buddy. Follow my voice. And all of a sudden, his head peeps out of an aisle, and he's like, oh, Dad. And he followed my voice. Why? Because he knew that my voice was the voice of safety. He was nervous and he was afraid. And he followed my voice because it was the voice of safety. My voice is the voice that looks out for him. My voice, this is the voice that he knows that he needs to follow in order for his fear to be extinguished and to be removed. And so I ask you this morning, do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you recognize his voice when he's speaking to you? This world is full of a lot of noise. And my question to you this morning is, do you hear, do you recognize the voice of your shepherd? And maybe you recognize the voice of your shepherd, and you know the voice of your shepherd, and you've known the voice of your shepherd for a long time, but here's my next question. Are you actively listening for the voice of your shepherd? In your current circumstance and what God is leading you to, if you understand that he is your shepherd and he's leading you to green pastures and he's leading you to still waters and he's leading you to a place that is safe and protected and full of provision and care, if you know that this is your shepherd and that's his voice, are you actively listening for what he's saying to you in this time of your life? And the third question is, are you following? It's one thing to recognize his voice. It's one thing to be actively listening for his voice. It's another thing to be actively following his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. He knows you intimately, deeply. He knows every need you have. He knows every fear that creeps up along the way. He knows every doubt that you have. And there's nothing to be ashamed of that. You are completely exposed before the one who created you, and that is the most beautiful place that you have to be. Allow yourself to be vulnerable in the presence of God. Let's talk about the shepherd for just a moment. A shepherd is the one who is the keeper of livestock, right? That's the definition of a shepherd. It is the responsibility of the shepherd to keep the sheep well cared for. That's their purpose, to care for the sheep. It is their responsibility to provide protection, like I said. It is the responsibility to provide guidance to safe pastures for the flock. The shepherd is there for you to live under safely. The shepherd is there for you to live under safely. And the beautiful thing about shepherds is that they go to great lengths to make sure that every need of the sheep is met so that they can flourish under his care. That's the shepherd. He goes to the greatest lengths to ensure that every single need that you have is met so that you are able to flourish under his care. So that you can flourish. So that you can experience this rich and satisfying life that he promises to you. This is who your Savior, Jesus Christ, is to you. The shepherd who is fully committed to leading you into that place of rest and allows you to flourish. Is that enough for you? It's enough for me. Maybe it's not enough for you. Maybe you need a little bit more of his resume before we can allow him to lead our lives. What about the fact that he's the one directly responsible for creating everything that you see? Does that help you put your trust in that shepherd? What about the revelation that I am the one who was created and he is the uncreated one? What about that revelation? And when you take a moment to gaze upon the creative work of your shepherd, and you just gaze up at the sky at nighttime and you see the black canvas full of stars just spread out, and you remember that really, on the grand scheme of things, this massive earth that is spinning around and rotating around the sun is really just a speck of dust in the entire universe that my shepherd created. And he placed every star in place, and he placed every planet to rotate in their solar system perfectly. Well, the earth is the exact perfect distance from the sun so that we can experience life, so that plant life can grow. We're not too close to where we will be burned up within an instant. We're not too far away that we will freeze and live in a tundra land. We are the perfect distance. When you think about this, about your shepherd, when you gaze upon this of his resume, does it free you up to say, that same God who created all those things is the one who created me, and out of his affection and love for me, will make sure that every single need that I have in life is met. One author put it this way when we reflect on these accomplishments of the shepherd. He put it this way. He said, when you reflect on these things, these creative attributes, and you think of the massive God that he is, it drains the ego, he says, from a man and puts things in the proper perspective. It drains the ego from a man and puts things in proper perspective. Basically, your outlook changes, doesn't it? And we're reminded of the truth of who God is and what he did and why he did it. And that fills my life with peace and rest. It's a tremendously humbling perspective, isn't it? That the creator of such an enormous universe chose to call himself my shepherd. And he chose for me to be the object of his love and affection and attention. And he chose you to be the object of his love and affection and special attention. And in light of this, man, I don't know about you, but I am proud to admit that he is my shepherd. And I can boldly declare it. And my soul is able to go to rest. Because he is the one that brought me into being. And there is no one more qualified to care for my life than the Good Shepherd. And it's in this understanding that we belong to Him and that He belongs to us, and that He simply chose to create me as the object of His love's affection. And the depth of this love was demonstrated by the shepherd when He took the penalty of our sin. The climax, the pinnacle of this love and a special attention and affection was demonstrated upon that cross, where the penalty of our sin was laid upon Him. So therefore, again, I'm humbled. And I'm yet proud to say that I belong to the shepherd and He has ownership of me. And I am okay with that, because He bought me at the most incredible price of His blood. He is the owner of the flock. And for Him, there is no greater reward, there is no greater satisfaction than that of seeing that His sheep are fully content and at rest. To see that they are well fed and safe and flourishing under His care. This is the rich and satisfying life that He gives to you. In verse 9, I'm just going to repeat this. He says, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved, and they will be able to come, and they will be able to go freely and find good pastures." It actually says they will find good pastures. This is a promise of God here. And we're going to close this morning in just a few moments singing that song of resting in His presence. Actually, Anthony, I'm going to invite you on up to come on up as well right now to do that. But this is a promise here for you and I, that we as a sheep, when we enter into the sheepfold, into the protection, and we come through Jesus Christ, is that we will find safety and rest. It's a promise. It's a promise that is for you and it's for me. And it's a promise that we will find rest and safety, not because the walls of the enclosure are so high, not because the enclosure has barbed wire all around it. That's not why we're going to find safety and rest. But the sheep that enter through the gate, which is Christ Jesus, will find rest and safety simply because the shepherd is present. Because of the presence of the shepherd with them. Jesus went on from there and He said, that, look, this thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. His purpose is to take life from you. Do you realize this? Do you see it? That there is one out there that is the aim to steal life from you, to rob you of peace, to rob you of your safety, to make you doubt that the shepherd is looking out for your every need. His aim is to cause you fear, and so allow fear to wrap around your heart and your mind. Because He knows that when fear is present for these little vulnerable little creatures as sheep, when fear is around and is lurking and is closing in, what is happening is impossible for us to find rest. I don't know about you, but I'm very familiar with this thief. And I'm all too familiar with his attempts to rob me of my peace and my rest. And I'm so sick and tired of it. I'm so sick of his attempts to violate my rest and try to grip me with fear. You know, this week, my family, we had an intense week of spiritual warfare where this was evident. Our peace and our rest was violated this week. We were completely vulnerable and exposed to the danger that lurks around us. And the threat of fear was everywhere around us. What I was encouraged to do this week was to rebuke that fear in the authority of the shepherd. Not in my authority, but in the authority that He gives to me and shares with me and allows me to use. And when that happened, my peace was restored. Church, there is absolutely no substitute for the comfort and the safety and the rest that is found when you know that the shepherd is present with you. There's no substitute. Nothing compares to the rest found in his presence. And this is the promise for you today, that when your heart walks quietly in the safety of a faithful shepherd, you will find rest. That's his promise. Those are not my words. These are the words of your shepherd, your God, the one who created you, who created and established everything in this universe. These are his words that go directly to you. So my encouragement to you this morning is to stay close to the shepherd. And to not only stay close to the shepherd, but stay close to the flock. To stay close to the flock. You see, sheep are a community animal. They thrive in community. They need community. They are not able to thrive in isolation. And I believe that this is a picture that Jesus uses for us as well. And he's encouraging us not only to stay close to the shepherd, but to stay close to the flock. Stay within the community, because to wander outside of the flock is to wander outside of God's best interest for your life. To wander away from the shepherd, or to wander away from the flock, is to wander away from everything that is in your best interest. So stay close to the shepherd this morning and to the flock. Don't wander off, because his presence is everything that you need, and there you will find rest and you will flourish. Bronwyn, could you put up that last picture for me? That only picture I have. I'd like to introduce you all to Shrek. Check out Shrek. Shrek is is known by some people in this room, and that's because he's from New Zealand. So everybody's from New Zealand knows every sheep that is there. This is Shrek. Shrek became famous a few years ago because Shrek decided to wander off by himself. I don't know why Shrek wandered off. Maybe he was afraid. Maybe he was just sick of the flock. Maybe he got into some kerfuffles with the people in the flock. But this picture is a picture of a sheep when he is brought back into the presence of a shepherd. This is when he was found. And during his time in isolation, 6 years, wandered off by himself. He lived in caves. And as you can see, his fleece grew incredibly a lot over those past 6 years. And because he wandered away from his shepherd, he was now burdened with all of this accumulation of fleece. It is said that when they found him hiding in these caves, and that he was carrying 60 pounds of fleece. 60 pounds of fleece. That's enough for 20 suits. 20 suits. It was also said that, I meant to find out, but how long does it take a sheep shearer to shear a sheep? Like a regular sheep that's in their flock? Huh? About a minute. It takes about a minute to shear a sheep and to remove the fleece from a sheep. That's how quick they are. It said that it took them 28 minutes to shear the sheep when they found him. And so this story is a good application for us, and it really points out what we're trying to get across this morning, and that is that this is that life involves an accumulation of burdens, and those burdens are intended to be tended to by the Good Shepherd. But when they're not tended to, we carry a weight and a burden around in us or with us. But this I want you to just allow this picture to sear it into your mind. The reason why you need a shepherd. This is why. You are completely and utterly dependent upon the love and the care and the affection of a faithful shepherd so that you can flourish. And that is the bottom line. So my prayer this morning is that each and every one of you will leave here with that picture seared into your mind. And this image of a faithful shepherd who cares for you. That you are the object of his affection. And he will see to it that every need you have is met. And that he will lead you to still waters and to green pastures and a spacious place so that you can rest and flourish. Would you stand with me this morning? And Anthony, after I just read Psalm 95, will you just enter us into that chorus and we'll just close and then I'll hand it off to you, Pastor Phil. Listen to these words of the psalmist who was a shepherd. Listen to how, what he says. Listen to his perspective here in Psalm 95. He says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord right now. Let us shout aloud and rejoice to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is great God, a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depth of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and the hands formed the dry land. So let us now bow before him in worship, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only we would hear his voice.